This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello and welcome to the Agony Uncles, here to solve all your problems and worries, we promise you. I'm Uncle Dave.
And I'm Uncle Si, and you're very welcome to our podcast, in which we, the Hairy Bikers, try to help you as you navigate life's highway.
Oh, that's done so nicely, Simon.
Oh, thank you, God.
Now, remember, if you want to get in touch with us, it's really easy. Just email your problems to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Yes, you do that and we will help you. Or make things much worse. One of the two. But moving on, now helping us with your traumas this week, as always, is the voice of your problems. The one, the only, the silky smooth, the foxy of foxiness, Mr. Mark, the Duke Jeeves.
Well, thank you. That's a big intro there. I'll go with Foxy anytime. Yes, well, lovely to see you. And thank you to everyone who's got in touch. We've had a big post back. It's quite a foodie set of problems today. It's just kind of fallen that way. But we've got some interesting stuff for you to get your teeth into, quite literally, as we go through the podcast today.
And to help us fix these issues, it's the posh voice of reason with her pearls of wisdom. Yeah, her actual pearls are from Cartier. It's Posh Tash. Welcome.
Morning. How are we all? I never seem to get the foxy or the I solve everything. I seem to get worse every week. I don't have my little intros. I don't have pearls, I'm afraid. I do have my grandmother's pearls somewhere. I'll wear them next week.
You did have a load of emails about spurtles, though, didn't
yes, you? Yes, you do. Yes.
I did. It would seem that a very sweet lady actually emailed me, and she showed me a picture of a spurtle, which was nothing like I'd imagined. And Dave was right, a stick with a bit flat bit at the end. I get it. But it is essentially a stick. You know, you could almost stir your porridge with anything, I feel. But it was a beautiful 100-year-old spurtle. I got a photo of it, and it was lovely. I'm fully educated.
Can you imagine the breakfasts that that's done?
Yeah, I know.
And you are potting it off as a stick.
Well, it was a beautiful stick. I was very grateful for the education, and I did respond. But essentially, it is a stick.
No. But back in the day, you know, you used to get decorative spurtles. You know, wood turners would apply their craft, and some of them can be quite elaborate.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm a boring you now, Tash. I'm a boring you, my spurtle knowledge.
Potentially. But I'm on it.
Well,
I'm
listen,
on it.
You know, it's a step up from you thinking it was something that you bought from Ann Summers, and our Dave is trying to educate you into the world of spurtles and their history, and you're just passing it off as a stick.
I do maintain. It's true. And to just reassure all listeners, though, I was so taken by the word and the fact I didn't know what it was, I did sit down at the dinner table with my entire family and educated them too. And so I feel like, you know, the word is spreading down south now.
Well, we're so pleased about that, aren't we, mate? That's grand, aren't we?
Aye. It's God missionary work.
So anyway, I want to love a word of the week. You can teach me a word of the week, a cooking implement of the week, maybe.
Oh, God. Right, Uncle Dave, on that note, get your jingler finger jingling, I think.
Big bong, bing bong, bong, bing, bing bong.
Elaborate finger today, we like that.
Hello, hairy bikers, here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy jackanory? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In today's Pyrex Pot of Problems, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to be sifting through solutions to these issues and woes. We have Lordy, more liver, we have a curry worry, we have discord in the band, and we have the best friend bust up. But first of all, it's Lordy More Liver. This comes to us from Tony Lee. Hello, Tony, who's written in. It says, hi, Uncle Si and Uncle Dave. Every Saturday morning, I sit down and I listen to your brilliant podcast. He says, I find Uncle Dave an inspiration. By the way, Dave, good luck with everything. I've long-term health issues and I find it a struggle myself. He said, you're inspiring me to keep laughing.
Thank you.
Now to my trouble. I love lamb's liver, but my wife Lynn hates it. Have you got a simple recipe to make liver and onions that she might enjoy? Thank you, Tony Lee. Over to you.
Yeah, we do. Well, we've got several, actually. There's an Escoffier recipe that we've used on numerous occasions with masala sauce and onions and masala soap raisins, which is really good. That's a nice recipe, but it depends whether she doesn't like the flavour or the taste. This is the thing, or the texture. It's a bit of a funny one, liver, but if she doesn't mind any of that, we've got loads, haven't we, mate?
Yeah, I think so. I think the secret is as well is not to make it an autopsy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like liver and kidneys. You don't want to be eating kind of tubes, organs and cartilage.
Yeah.
It needs to be prepped properly. But when we did the Escoffier recipe, we did it with calf's liver,
yes,
which is like the caviar of the liver world, and that's really lovely. But sometimes calf's liver is so nice. It was just dusted with seasoned flour and just fried off. But again, with onions and bacon, you know, bacon fat. I remember we did Mum's Know Best, Kingy, you know, one of our mum's things. We redid lamb's liver, bacon, liver bacon in rich onion gravy. And do you remember we handed it around the tent? And people absolutely loved it. People have forgotten how good it was when it's prepared properly.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid as well, I didn't used to eat liver, but we always used to have pig's liver or ox liver because it was cheaper. Now, going down the football league of liver, it's, you know, like ox liver, nah, forget it, really.
Do you know what? It was for me at school. I haven't eaten it since I was about 9 years old because I think school massacred it. I don't know what liver that was.
Oh.
But it was just a very, very tough grey lump of something with a mashed potato on a plate that with a tinned tomato. And to me, that's my stomach turning stuff. But I'd love to, you know, I'd love to taste a great liver now.
Why is it that posh schools torture the children with awful food? Do you know what I mean? I went to a northern school, and my school dinners were quite acceptable. But it's like, I remember knowing somebody who went to a posh girls' school, and they had this whole liking for Eco margarine, you know, the one you use for baking.
Oh, God.
But that was what she had on her bread and toast every morning. No, do you give your kids purgatory just to kind of improve them, really?
Yeah, the food in my first school, I can remember also sitting down with a rice pudding that was I don't do dairy very well. I never have. This rice pudding sat in a bowl and they made me sit there. I sat down at 11:30 for lunch and I wasn't allowed to leave the table until 3 o'clock when I was picked up from school. It must have been about 6 or 7. And they shut me in this dark, dark wooden dining room and I sat there until I'd finished that bowl. I wasn't allowed. And this rice pudding had gone cold and skin. And honestly, that's a childhood nightmare for me. But I reckon that was teaching me a lesson in some way.
No, they were just trying to break your spirit.
They break my love of rice pudding.
Yeah,
but to be fair, the simple recipe, our liver bacon with onion gravy, it'll be on the website, BBC website or the Hairy Bikers website, free.
Yeah.
Please go and have a look at. And it just works, simply works.
It's a great recipe. And I think, it'll be on ours. It'll be on our website.
Yeah.
Is it easy to cook?
It is. It's just all about timing. You just don't want to, you don't want to make it, you don't want to overcook it, but you don't want to undercook it either. Because as Dave says, if you undercook it, it's a bit of an autopsy and there's a bit of blood to it. But it's just literally, it's literally timing. And there's so many references about timing. For cooking, it's really simple to deal with.
Yeah, and I wouldn't worry if it's a little bit under either.
Yeah.
You know, certainly calf's liver. You know, it's just so really, but it really is quite a delicacy. If you eat meat, of course, but obviously if you're a vegetarian, then there is no real kind of vegan substitute for liver. Is there? Look, get realistically about it.
No,
I haven't done corn liver yet.
No, I don't think so. Give them time.
I don't think it'd sell.
Can you imagine though? It's like it's like this mad thing. What I can't get my head around is if you're vegan, why you want to eat something that like isn't meat but looks like it? I mean, I'm sure that they miss it and there's that transition period, but you know, it's so processed and bad for you. I don't know.
Well, I think it's I think. It's like the umami, the flavour profile of meat. is really nice. That's the thing. So we can get that, you know, I think if a lot of people, it's on morality and ecological grounds where they turn to vegetarianism and veganism. But, you know, there's nothing to stop them still liking smoky bacon. Is there?
No, that is true. Yeah. That's fair.
Do you know what I mean?
That's me being unkind.
Yeah, I kind of quite respect that, really.
Yeah, but, fair enough. Yeah.
I find a lot of things, my daughter's thinking of going across to being a vegetarian more just because she doesn't particularly like the taste of meat as much. But I find that all the things I'm buying her that are plant-based, that are looking like a burger or a sausage, they just throw a lot of smoky. It's always a smoky taste to everything, which I just clearly is something they're trying to use as the mask for the meat taste. But every burger, anything she has, it's really like a barbecue smoky smell.
And to be fair, some of them, I mean, I know I've just said what I've said, but to be fair, some of them, because I've eaten them, are pretty damn good. You know,
they really are. Beyond meat, I think, are delicious, funny enough.
Yes, they are.
Well, we did that thing in America, didn't we, Kingy? We were at this place that was doing...
Where was it?
It was somewhere in California. And it was when, is it the Beyond Burgers? Or was it the Impossible Burger?
Impossible Burger, yeah.
They just come out. And I was in the kitchen because we cracked on that I really like a burger with all the trimmings. So they gave me a meat burger. And he said, oh, no, King just likes his very plain and simple. And they gave you the Impossible Burger. And I came out the kitchen with the burgers and said, you know, so what do you think, King? You were tucking into it. Oh, it's delicious. It's fine. Yeah. And then we explained that it was actually plant-based.
Wow.
It was so funny because... You know, expectation, but this thing, I think it was with beetroot, it was pretty amazing.
You just couldn't tell, you just couldn't. But I mean, the first giveaway, really, you kind of get your head around the textural thing, don't you? But this was like, it was like it was eating ground beef.
Actually, Kingy, I think the amount of processed food that we'd eaten on that trip on Route 66, by the time we got to California, it's kind of the textural thing was quite. Gone anyway.
Really. To be fair, that's true. What is this? Oh, okay.
Oh, is it? Really?
It's great.
It was remarkable because the stuff that we found there, I mean, look, there was some great food, but you had to really look for it. And Dave and I were just, I can remember that conversation we had in the car park in the morning going, what is it about the Americans that actually what they do is they'll take a carrot and process it and make it look like what it was in the original thing, which was a carrot in the first place. Why don't they just leave it as a carrot? Yeah. It was just, then there was loads of instances like this that we were like, this is starting, it's like this mad culinary acid trip of like, this is a carrot. No, it isn't. Oh yes, just leave it as a carrot, you know?
Yeah, but then you see, when you reprocess that carrot back into a carrot, you can add more sugar.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Yes, of course.
And it tastes better and it gets more addictive and you buy another one.
Yes, yes.
So the moral of this tale is don't eat processed carrots and get yourself a nice bit of lamb's liver.
Yeah.
And if you want to find out details, then on the website, we shall get Uncle Barry, our fifth member, the fifth Beatle, to put the stuff up on the Hairy Bikers website, so you can go and find it there. Or if you have the Mums Know Best book in there too.
Food makes everything better.
Your next problem concerns a curry worry, and this comes from Melissa. It says, Dear Uncles, Cy, Dave, and Auntie Tash.
Oh,
I've heard you called Auntie Tash before.
It makes me sound a bit old. Well, I prefer Posh.
Auntie Tash. I'm like Dave, as I love curry. I think Cy loves curry too, actually, Melissa. It says, but with two young children and the prices going through the roof, we're going to have to replace our Friday night curry, where we used to go out for a takeaway, with something homemade. Now, I don't mind that, as I think it'll be a fun thing for us all to do, cook the curry together and all that stuff. Your recipe for chicken tikka masala looks great, but I'm confused by this line in it. Quoting, the chicken can be marinated ahead of time and the sauce can be made and stored, as it's only after the chicken has been grilled that it is added to the sauce. Melissa says, does this mean I can make the sauce and freeze it, then defrost it another time after grilling some chicken? And if so, how do I defrost it? Microwave or in a pan? I'm confused. Hope you can help. Melissa, over to you.
I think you're overcomplicating matters, Melissa.
Yeah.
I mean, the sauce... You freeze it, but obviously just leave it out for an hour or two and it'll defrost. Yeah. See, me, I just leave it on the things on the arga to defrost gently. You know, it works fine.
You can do it either way, Melissa, as Dave suggests, or if you've forgotten to take it out, you can stick it in a microwave. I mean, don't talk to me about microwaves because you haven't got one. But I just put it in a pan with a lid on and just put it under a low heat. And guess what? Heat, ice, it melts. Jobs are good, and there's your sauce.
And it's a chicken tikka masala, so you make your chicken tikka first.
Yeah.
And then you can, the sauce is added. It's a cracking recipe, by the way. It's got a lot of bits and pieces in it, but it's worth it. That's why it's worth batch making the sauce. Yeah. I mean, I did our green curry the other week, and I made the green curry paste, but I've kind of batch done that. And I just put it in a Tupperware container with a little bit of oil on top in the fridge so that when I want my green curry, I mean, it's so quick once you've made the paste. And with homemade paste, so much more fragrant. But actually, curry, I think, it's a great thing when the purse strings are a bit tight as well, because you can use the cheaper cuts of meat, braise them down. Things like neck of lamb is the most wonderful lamb, for a curry, for a passata or the sag gosh, the spinach and lamb. And obviously, like Kingy's favourite, is the dal, the humble lentil. Transformed it something spectacular.
And also, if you're lucky enough, as Dave and I are, but if you're lucky enough to live near an Asian supermarket and go and buy your spices there, because literally, I'm not exaggerating, you'll pay a third of what you would ordinarily pay in the supermarkets, and you get more for that third. It's really, really the way to do it.
They do say, don't they, that Indian cooking, I asked once for an easy Indian cookbook before I met the Bikers, just so everyone knows that, an easy Indian cookbook. But there is no such thing as an easy Indian, I don't think, because you've got to have your set spice cupboard ready. And then once you've got your set spice cupboard, everything becomes easy. But I also went to an Asian supermarket, and I just had my little round twirly thing of set Indian spices.
Yeah, spice
and once tea. You've got that, it's great. But if you ever want to just pick up a curry, it's quite hard just to cook a quick curry if you haven't got those spices.
Yes.
Well, you can always use ready-made spice mixes.
Of course, yeah.
There's that punch paran, isn't it, that you use, which is it's an authentic, or a masala mix, which you can get from the Indian grocers, and the work's done for you, really.
Okay.
But when we did Mums Know Best, I remember the Indian mums, they used to have, like, the old-fashioned biscuit tins, like the ones you get your Christmas biscuits in.
Yeah.
And about 10 or 12 jam jars, or little jars full of the spices with a label on the top. And so they thought about it, it's like 12 salt and peppers. So this bit of that, bit of that. Or once you've got your tin, I've got my spice tin, but actually the Indian ladies' ones in the old biscuit tin, they work much better because you'd hold more spice.
You just said you put oil, you made the paste and you put oil on it to put back into the fridge. What does the oil do over the paste?
It just stops it drying out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that the oil kind of enriches the paste anyway. So, if it was a long time, I'd freeze it. But actually, I'm just thinking that the green curry paste I've got in there now, it's probably been in the fridge a bit long, and I'm going to have to chuck it.
Okay.
But all those pastes are worth kind of batch making.
And you could freeze a paste.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also the oil stops the air getting to it. To the top of it, it forms a seal, which maybe will elongate the paste for 3 or 4 days longer than it would ordinarily.
Oh, it's like nice if you're making pesto.
Yeah.
Fresh pesto, just float some olive oil on the top and it'll last for quite a while. Or indeed, I'm sure, as we've all got these jars of pesto monsters at the back of the cupboard, they still seem to be all right, even though they expired 3 or 4 years ago.
That goes back to our conversation we had on one of the podcasts, didn't we, about jam, whether you go past the mould at the top to get to it. I often do that with the pesto. I go slightly past the mould at the top to get to a bit more pesto at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's hard to work out what's mould and what's pesto, isn't it, really? There's a kind of a slight colour problem there. But I think you a bit of preparation, but Indian food can take quite a lot. But also as well is when you do the food, it's batch cooked curry. That's what we always do. I always cook 3 or 4 times and freeze it, and then it's really quick and economical as well. Saves on your fuel costs. Yeah, then you can have the curry anytime you want. Abba wrote a song, about our chicken tikka masala.
Yeah,
really? Tell.
Yeah, chicken tikka, maybe I know.
It's so famous. ABBA wrote a song about it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the Agony Uncles a line.
There is a slight musical link to our next problem, which is called Discord in the Band. This comes from Al, and he writes this. It's got a slight foodie edge, as you'll hear. Discord in the Band. Dear Uncles and Tash, like Uncle Si, I'm a musician. I'm a bass player in a band. We play covers of 70s and 80s rock hits. We're only amateur, but we do love playing. We do the local pubs and friends' parties and the like. But the real reason that we do this is that we all go to the village hall on a Thursday and have a good few hours playing music together. I love it. There's five of us, and each week we take it in turns to cook something up and bring it along for the halftime beer and food. I'm the curry guy. Interesting, we just talked about curry. The guitarist lives up to his nickname of Nosh by doing big beef stews. You get the picture? However, the drummer, who is known to us as Ugg, on account of his caveman-like instinct to beat his drums as though he were clubbing a mammoth to death, is hopeless when it comes to the food. At best, we'll have some Ginsters that he picked up from the garage. But in the past, he's turned up with five packs of mini cheddars, and that's it. We've tried to be nice about it, but since Mini Cheddar Gate, we've had enough, and so this week he'll be on orders to deliver a better dinner next time. To help him, we'd like to send him on his way with one of your recipes, so have you anything simple that even a Neanderthal drummer could make that would feed five hungry lads? Much appreciated, Al.
Well, that's bloody rich coming from a bass player. You know, I mean... Neanderthal drummer, yeah, fair enough. He sounds like a lad that like hits his drums like he's building a shed. It's yeah, yeah. Well, over to Dave for the recipe, I think. Gotta step out.
I'd let Ugg off it, really. Well, why doesn't Ugg just spend some money and bring a carry out?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. What could Ugg do? See, if some people don't have any facility whatsoever, it's kind of not worth bothering, is it? We haven't got any love for it.
No. Exactly.
Knowledge. I mean, he's going to get it wrong. And they might get getting some really disgusting food because he's tried his hardest. Then they're going to have to eat it. I would buy the takeout and put it in a casserole dish and walk in and pretend you did it.
Yeah, but maybe Ugg's skint.
True.
What do you call a drummer that's just finished with his girlfriend?
Go on.
Homeless.
Hey, do you know what he could try our sausage casseroles, of which there are numerous recipes on the internet free. They're pretty straightforward. If you've got a couple of packets of bangers and you put the ingredients into a pot, I'm sure you could do that if you followed the instructions.
You see, maybe you should just bring pot noodles in a kettle. Because if literally all he's done is
I hate to be too obvious about it, but there's nothing a Norse stock cube couldn't help, surely, with a bit of flavour.
That's true.
Stir that in with it boiling water.
Yes.
And then with a couple of bangers, you know, they've some vegetables. Surely you've got something in there.
No, that looks like the bottom of a toilet, Tash, if you're just going to put a bottle of stock in a sausage.
Yeah, I'm with you there, King. A bit of alchemy is needed. So you've got curries and you've got the beef stews. Just kind of, he needs to stick his hands up, really. If he's got some money, I think bring a carry out in. Or even just go to a pie shop and bring some really nice pies.
Make an effort, is what the lads are asking for. Just like make an effort, dude. You know.
Well, why can't the boys just understand that it's just not his thing? He's part of it and they want him for the company and he's great for the band. So on those nights, they just don't get the culinary experience they were expecting. But Ugg can go to the local garage and get a different packet of crisps every week. And that's what they all know they're getting. They'll have to eat before they play or eat after they play. But Ugg's there as their friend.
I don't give any of my band members time to eat. They literally, we're into the rehearsal room, that's it. And we don't stop till we get through the set. I think that's a very liberal attitude towards your musicians, I think.
Yeah, but your friend, Mrs. B, she sometimes sends you off with a pack up for the band, doesn't she?
She does, yeah. Yeah.
And she's an amazing cook.
Yeah, she is. She's a good baker,
your mate. Mrs. B. Yeah, so she bakes stuff and sends you off. I don't know how much of it will reach the band. By the time you've got there.
Shut up, dude. Some of them listen. Shut up.
Oh, the understandable, though. I've had a cheese scones.
Yes.
Oh, they are good.
Yeah. Anna won't tell us, you know, what's it, because there's something that Mrs. B puts in a cheese scones, and she'll go, well, that's for me to know and you to find out. And I'm going, I don't know, but on the day of the proper cheesy.
Yeah, there's something.
Bastard.
No, she tells us about that, but there's an ingredient that's in there that she'll not tell us. It's really irritating.
Oh, crushed up mini cheddars.
It's probably ground up mini cheddars.
Yeah, it might be, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but could always just bring a cold buffet. Whatever he's doing, he's going to have to, if he doesn't get his finger out, he's going to have to spend some money, isn't he?
Why doesn't he just bring the beer? Just like, only, you know, like a beer each, just to compliment. Or ask the lads, maybe he's good at drink. Most drummers are. So if they're good at drinking, then what happens is that he can beer match or wine match whatever the lads are going to cook.
Yeah?
Instead of asking where the break is in the middle eight or what, you know, it's, you know, Oak might just go, what are you cooking? Or bring the beer, you know.
It's a liquid dinner when Ugg's there.
Yeah, liquid dinner. Yeah, just.
I think we need a picture of Ugg, don't we? Because we're all forming these mental images.
I've got this great image of Ugg.
Yeah, I have.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
In his hands, he's got two big bones that he got off the woolly mammoth.
Yeah, hairs on his palms, all that.
Yeah. Fingers like Savoy's.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't cut his hair in years.
Dave, do you know what I had the other day? I had a Dickinson's Savoy dip. Oh man, it was so good. I did glow in the dark for about a week and a half, but it was, it was so good, man. Oh,
yeah, so some things like that, aren't they? Isn't it funny, food that goes back to childhood? I mean, obviously, Tash didn't eat anything nice in her childhood.
No.
A friend came down from Barrow the other week with six greens, meat and potato pies.
Gone on.
And the other night, Lil was working. So generally, I do cook for both of us. So she said, don't bother for me. And I sat there and I had two pies, you know, nearly as good as pucker pies. It's the nostalgia of it as well.
It is.
But I had it with a Knorr gravy pot. Like, it was so, so nice. Because the gravy pots are lovely. And then just had it with, you know, these pies. But it took me right back to my childhood. It hasn't changed. But like your Savoy dip, you know.
Yeah.
You must have some food, Tash, that takes you back to childhood with affection rather than repulsion.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's my mum's cooking. She was a proper, you know, 1970s, 80s home cook. So mine was always shepherd's pies and cottage pies and all those kind of things. My mum always did an amazing chicken casserole. You know, those are my comfort memories. My mum did some ridiculous, quick and easy. She used to stir fry a chicken with raisins and tomatoes and paprika. And for some reason, if I need comfort food, that's what I go to. It's obviously she made it up, but for some reason, that's my comfort food. For me.
That
but
yeah,
school was never good.
No, the culinary experiences sometimes at school were slightly challenging. But I mean, all in all, I think we did all right, mate, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. I remember once it was the first time I'd ever had tuna fish from a tin. It was at school, and they used to do it. They used to use like an ice cream scoop for the mashed potato.
Yeah.
So it'd be two scoops,
yes,
of mashed potato, some tuna fish on the side, with tomato soup on top, and for some reason it was strangely delicious.
Wasn't you're lying.
Well, it was great. And the school sausages as well were brilliant. I've never quite got that flavour of kind of onions, and they must have been so cheap, but there's something very, very nice about them.
The other awful one we had was we used to sit on long tables, and the teacher would be at one end and they'd serve it up and pass the bowls down. But we used to have this huge suet pudding in a roll, and it was never that well cooked. And we used to call it Miss Gilbert's leg, because this really horrible teacher broken her leg once and it looked like the dirty old cast that she had around her leg.
What's it you call him, Kingy?
I don't know, dead
man's arm
dead
or something.
Man's, aye, dead man's arm was aye.
Yeah.
Oh, Miss Gilbert's leg came out. That was when you started stuffing it into your apron pockets to make sure no, you didn't eat it and take it home with you and squashed in the pocket. Oh, horrible.
Oh, no, everybody likes a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah.
You need to find out what Ugg's nostalgia food is, gangsters.
I shall. And we're going to have the Bovril. Westler's Burgers. Remember Westler's Burgers?
Yeah. Ugg, Westler's Burgers, yes.
We had Keegan's in the Northeast, and oh, man, and they used to have these... That like the you could smell the and there were like little pushy trays pushed by fellas that should never been anywhere near.
Oh
food
gosh, yes.
With the it was right across the north, I think, Keegan's, and they had this, and they always had, it was supposed to be immaculately white, full like kind of aprons, you know, when you Dave and I get dressed up to go into some food producer somewhere. And they were always grey, which was exactly the same colour as the burgers that they were pulling out of what could only be described as this brine and stuck in bread that was just, had never seen a wheat field in its life. It was just, they were great.
Do you remember, Kingy, did you used to have those tin burgers in gravy when you were a kid? The company was called Goblin.
Oh, yes, yes.
Which is an unfortunate name, isn't it, really, for a food producer? Mm. But Goblin, I used to love them. You know, but, you know, he used to have two and there was four in a can. But, you know, it was always rationing yourself for the gravy, you know. they were strangely, like, I suppose you call them a fricadellan these days.
How did you cook them again? I cannot remember.
You just put them in a saucepan.
That was it, yeah.
You warmed them up.
That was it. You had to take the thing and the gravy was slightly congealed around it. Oh, yeah, I remember them. Yeah. My aunt Hilde and my Uncle George used to have them when my aunt Hilde was pissed off with my Uncle George. And she just listened to open a tin of these things. And the puddings as well. Can you remember the puddings? The Goblin puddings?
Oh, yeah, Goblin and Time Brand.
Time Brand,
course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
yeah. 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 God, baby's heads.
Boys got to have beautiful and, you know, culinary tongues after all this. I mean, that sounded an awful start. Tinned burgers and tuna and tomato soup. It's a wonder you had a career out of it.
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah. Well, at least you had your mother. Yeah. I mean, I just pulled myself up by the bootstraps, really. But it's funny, when I talk about my childhood food to Lil, and my wife grew up during the time of Ceausescu, you know, but they had... They kept a pig, made their own sausages, and they grew their own food. So actually, diet-wise, her childhood memories are a lot more wholesome than mine as a child in the North in the 60s. My God knows, you know, it was pretty bad, really, you know.
And I think what's interesting about the way that Lil was, is that actually Lil's food knowledge in terms of seasonality and all that sort of stuff is so good. It's just instinctively knows when stuff is in season and when it isn't.
Wow.
Because that's what, you know, because there was no supermarkets. Yeah. Everything wasn't available all of the time. And you ate what was grown in the garden. And when the pig was ready, that was it.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah.
Pretty amazing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I blame the astronauts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the space race. It changed everything, didn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We all wanted to be astronauts and eat everything that was...
Dried,
yes.
I just wonder if any astronaut has ever made a bacon sandwich in space. You know, with a frying pan.
Imagine it spitting.
Yeah. Has there ever been a frying pan in space is what I want to know. NASA, if you're listening, give us a shout, will you?
We need to speak to Tim Peake.
Yes, we do. Yeah, Tim Peake, of course. Yeah. We've just, on the day this podcast has been recorded, NASA have just launched a new moon rocket.
Oh,
handy. So I have to find out whether they did put in a Calagas hob
and a frying pan,
just to make things a bit more convenient. What I liked about the old trains, if you ever looked in the cab of the old trains, they used to have a Calagas hob in there so they could make a cup of tea. Go along at 120 miles an hour. That's nice. We need to give a bit of advice to Ugg, the Neanderthal drummer, who I've got the image of Robin from Ghosts in my mind. So we need to give him a bit of advice. What should Ugg do for his food, please?
Admit that he's not a great cook, but find an alternative and just explain to the boys that his effort comes in a different form to a casserole. But he does need to step up to the plate a bit.
Uncle Si?
Ugg, make an effort, you lazy git. And what I would suggest is that you match beer and wine to what the lads cook. That's the easiest cop out and very good for a drummer because you're in the off license anyway.
Uncle Dave.
Ugh, I would find a good bakery, a really nice bakery, and I would do a pie buffet. Won't cost you much. Do you know what I mean? But like, just do a plethora of warm pies. If you presume you've got somewhere to heat the food up, whether rehearsing. So just buy some really nice pies and have a pie buffet. And easy to cater for vegetarians as well, if there's one in your midst. And it's nice that we sometimes do that, don't we, Kingy?
Yeah.
Have a pie buffet.
Lovely. Well, we've had one in your car, I think.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
That's 7 years.
Yeah. Dude, you set them out on the dashboard.
Let's have a bit of that. Yeah. Yeah. Can you go and ask if the bakery's got a knife? Yeah, all right, dude. I'll just
butter up. Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncles. It's time to head to Confidential Corner. Dun, dun, dun. And this is called the Best Friends Bust Up. And we need some names here, actually. We haven't had any names. We've been okay for them. But today, we need two female and one male name. Tash, you can do the male name. Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, a female name each, please.
Sharon.
Sharon?
Gracie.
Sharon, Tracy, and...
Kevin.
And Kevin. Well, listen, this is a proper 1980s trio. Dear Uncle Si.
All in an XR3i.
All in an XR3i. Sharon, Tracy and Kevin. Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Uncle Si and Tashar. Help! I met Kevin online about 3 months ago and I really like him, writes Sharon. He's 56, he's divorced, he runs a car repair business and likes disco music. I'm 57, divorced, have a car that always needs repairing, and also like disco music, so it's a match made in heaven. Last weekend, he met my best friend, Tracy, for the first time. Now, she's been such a good friend to me, helped me when my marriage ended, and I helped her when hers did too, and since then, we've kind of done everything together. So I thought she'd be so happy for me. But after the meal we had together, she and I drove back home, and she just said, I'm sorry. Sorry, Sharon. I don't like Kevin at all. I was so upset. She said she didn't think he was right for me. A bit rough around the edges and I could do better. The thing is, I can't agree with her. I really do like him, but she's my best friend. I don't know what to do for the best. I thought I'd got my life sorted and now this. Please help. Sharon, over to you.
Ooh.
Jealous, I think.
Yeah, she could be. I think if you find love at that age, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You've got to go.
Until your first introduction to go outright, sorry, I don't like him. I think you bide your time a little bit. Go, I appreciate she might quite like him. He's not for me. But she's not asking her best friend to go out with him. I feel a bit harsh, I feel. And, you know, it may be that the best friend in time might have to say he's not good for you. I don't think he's right for you. But yeah. You can't say that after one meal.
Yeah, no, you can't. And I think it's very presumptuous to say that you can't. You can't just write somebody off after one meal. It's not right. And anyway, if Tracy loves Sharon as she says she does, and as time would say that they do, then why would you do that to somebody? You just don't. You just bide your time.
They're compatible, aren't they? Yeah. I also remember your mother was the worst though, Si.
Oh gosh,
whenever I took somebody up to for the weekend in Newcastle, this is obviously between my single days. By God, your mother didn't pull any punches.
Well, no, that's because she loved you. You know, and she was like, well, what did you go? God, she was terrible. But she was like that with everybody in the family, she'd just go for it. And you'd go...
She'd do it in the front of one's potential new partner as well.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
She was kind of hard, like, harsh.
Question is, though, did you listen?
No.
There was no avoiding Mrs. King.
But did you actually act on it? The thing is, people can say things, and clearly for us, Sharon's taken this to heart because her best friend has said something and she wants her best friend to like him like she does.
Yeah.
But sometimes people can give you advice, you just think, oh, be quiet, I don't care what you think, I like him. Which maybe as your mother might have just been shooting her opinion out, but you had to be a bit braver to go, no, well, actually, I really like her.
She was generally right, actually.
Was she? There you go.
Yeah. Irritatingly, yeah. She was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was really irritating. And so it was just because I'd get it, Dave would get it, and then would be like, well,
all right, then.
Yeah, fair
that's
enough.
That one.
That's that one.
Aye.
Should we go to the pub?
You know, though, in Tracy's defence, the friend, there is nothing worse potentially then than going out with somebody for a while, seeing them, and you're faking you like your friend's boyfriend. And then they break up and she goes, oh, he was awful from the beginning. And she'll go, well, you're my best friend. Why didn't you tell me? You know, that can always get thrown back in your face.
Yeah,
so.
But the thing is that that's okay, but not after the first meeting. You know, like the first meeting, man, it's like everybody's nervous. They know how important that relationship is. And I'm sure Kev has been like, oh God, this is, and he might have been a bit nervous and a bit worried about what he's going to say and how he portrays himself and all of that. And then, you know,
maybe as well is that they're in the 50s. So maybe Sharon and Tracy have been like companions, friends for years. And pretty inseparable. Yes. Now, all of a sudden, Kevin's on the scene. So maybe she feels threatened by this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because obviously the dynamic's going to change.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they've been going on holiday together for years. And, you know, she's going to want to go on holiday with Kevin and, vice versa. Things do change. So Tracy's going to have to kind of, I don't know, get used to it, really.
Is to be friends with them, because then the more likely is you'll go on holiday together or you'll still have those times together and Sharon will make time for Tracy. Because everyone likes each other. But the more she doesn't like him, the more that Sharon's going to go off with him because she's going to be forced to make a choice.
And putting people in that position's not right, I don't think. And so after the first meeting, I mean, look, if he's abusive and horrible and nasty after 3 weeks or after 3 months or 4 months, then she's got something, you know, fair to say. But what, after the first dinner, I don't like him at all. Nah, that's a bit shit.
And then she could always say, I told you so, when it all goes wrong.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. But she's still got to stay there for her friend.
Yeah, she's
even if her friend still goes out, she's got to stay there because when it does go wrong, she's going to need her friend. And that's
she needs somebody to dance around a handbag with.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
So sadly, another podcast comes to the close, but don't despair, dear listener. There will be another along next Friday. After all, there are so many problems out there to be solved.
Yes, but if you haven't already done it, make sure you follow or subscribe so you don't miss the new ones when they do come out, because you wouldn't want to do that now, would you? Absolutely not. No.
And remember to email us your troubles, be they culinary, affairs of the heart, or needing Cupid. Email to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
So until next week, it's goodbye from Tash.
Bye.
Mr. Jeeves.
Goodbye.
And me best mate.
Aye, goodbye.
Bye.